Welcome to Step Into Magic, your weekly online radio show on how to develop your psychic ability, deepen your spirituality, and find your own true purpose with acclaimed medical intuitive, Josephine Lang. This broadcast is a part of the Wisdom and Intuition Network at worldclasswind.com. This is Anthony Taylor, your host, and on behalf of Josephine, I'll be taking your calls and questions. This week's topic is Dance Your Way Through Life, the Role of Movement in Health and Healing. During tonight's show, Josephine will be sharing some of her knowledge regarding health and healing. However, she's not a medical doctor. So if you are ill or are suffering from a disease, do please consult your doctor before attempting any natural healing programs. For anyone new to our show, Josephine has been a clairvoyant healer for more than 25 years. During that time, she's helped thousands of people from around the world to heal from hard-to-diagnose and chronic health issues. She's also been a teacher and spiritual mentor for hundreds of people who treasure her insights, courage, and love.
Hello, everyone. It's so nice to be joining you tonight. And thank you to all of you who got in touch with us this last week. We sure had a lot of fun talking about herbs. And lots of people contacted us about my list of the top favorite 52 backyard garden herbs that I have, which I'm delighted to send out to you if you just want to contact me at my website, which is stepintomagic.com. And locally here on the central coast of California, I'm happy to say that Growing Grounds downtown, a little shop downtown on Choro Street, has a variety of medicinal herbs. And as the season progresses, and some of them are there now, they have aloe vera and parsley and lavender, spearmint and rosemary and chamomile and comfrey and gota cola and lemon balm and sage and stevia. So I just wanted to mention that because, you know, these are all such wonderful herbs and we talked about them last week. So they're available a lot of times in garden centers near where you are. And you can also order them online. There's lots of good sources for medicinal herbs online as well. And I also wanted to mention hawthorn berry, which is such a great herb, and I kind of got a short shrift last week at the end of the show, and it's maybe one of my real top favorites for really helping to strengthen our hearts. In fact, it's been shown to mitigate the effects of heart attack because it increases collateralization, and collateralization is one of those big words, but what it means is that's the ability of the body to grow additional veins and arteries to support the coronary artery, which is our heart artery. And so what happens is if that coronary artery should become blocked with plaque from, you know, bad fats in the diet or whatever, then those collateral veins and arteries that have grown can continue to supply the heart with blood and oxygen and nutrients. So hawthorn berry is fabulous for really helping to make the effects of a heart attack much less dramatic, should one have one, and also to just provide lots of additional nutrients to the heart. And then hawthorn berry also helps to balance the rhythm of the Purkinje fibers, which control the muscular beat of the heart. That's the organization of that actual beat, you know, from one end to the other. And hawthorn berry is also really fabulous for normalizing arrhythmia and tachycardia, those uneven heartbeats, and that's because it has such a beneficial effect on the Purkinje fibers. And so definitely hawthorn is one of the great herbs and one that I always like to keep on hand, and I use it regularly. And like I said, it's widely available, like some of those other herbs that we mentioned, in garden centers and in nurseries, and you can also order it online. And the hawthorn oxyacantha is probably the most commonly used medicinally, but almost all of them are medicinal, like Monoguna or Lea Vigata or Nigra or Pinnatifida or Cuneata. Those are all those Latin botanical names, the species names for the different aspects of the genus hawthorn. And they're all just wonderful, so enjoy. But enough from last week's show, and now let's move on to this week, which is all about movement and the role that exercise plays in our health and healing. So before I get into this topic deeply, I always like to begin our show with our spiritual agreement. And this is a gift from my friend and mentor, Jana Massey. And I would like to ask you all to make this agreement with me, if you will. And it goes like this. Together, we acknowledge that everything that we think, that we say, and that we do at this time will be of the highest good. And together we ask for truth, the understanding of that truth, and the wisdom to use it in our lives. Do you all agree?
I do.
Thank you very much, Tony. Me too. So having a body can be so much fun. I mean, we've got tastes and touch and sensations of all kinds and movement, which is such a delight. And, you know, we all delight at the antics of kittens and puppies and children. And when we move, we are really, when we're happy and enjoying our movement, we're really flooding our bodies with medicine. Our bones get stronger from movement. We create endorphins, which are neurotransmitters in our brain that affect our hormones and make us feel great. And we have the great delight here at our home of getting a visit once a week from my dear friend Loretta, who has a little baby. And little baby Beatrix is such an athlete. I mean, she's only 9 months old, but watching her as she's been growing, you know, she bends and stretches and twists and learns how to roll over and sit up, and now she's standing. And today I watched her stand as she was just like squatted down on the floor, and then she was just steadying herself against the bookcase, and she just stood right up, and I thought, I'm going to try that. And I went down to it. I consider myself to be pretty strong. I do a lot of exercise. There was no way. I said, this girl is strong. That's really great. So there she is, you know, 9 months old, stretching and moving all day long and standing and sitting. And she's way stronger than I am, and crawling and then, of course, exercising her lungs. Now she's starting to make little noises and singing out and talking a little bit. And she's very young, but truly an athlete. And then also, on the other end of the scale, we have all of these mature athletes. And one of my very favorite books is John Robbins' book called Healthy at 100, How You Can, at Any Age, Dramatically Increase Your Lifespan and Your Health Span, which is a fabulous, fabulous book. I recommend it to everybody. He was the best-selling author of Diet for a New America. He's a wonderful scholar, beautiful man. And in this book, Healthy at 100, he talks about four different cultures from around the world that have some of the world's healthiest, oldest people. And for them, exercise is just a part of everyday life. It's not like exercise. They're not going to the gym. But they're just, you know, moving their bodies all day long. And there are several things that these cultures have in common, these four cultures that have really healthy folks well into their 90s and often into their hundreds. And mostly they're having a plant-based diet. I mean, some of them, a couple of them might have a little bit of fish, the really tiny oily fishes, or another one of the cultures would maybe have a goat every 6 months or something. They'd have a big celebration, and they would slaughter a goat and eat the meat as a whole group. But for the most part, they're eating fresh, raw fruits and vegetables from the garden, and fresh as in what they eat today. What they've just picked. If they don't clean it up off their plate at that meal, they generally toss it off to the guinea pigs and the chickens. And then they're, of course, having no processed foods. There's nothing that comes in a can or a package, none of that. And then they're really, really physically active. And the other aspects that they all shared in common was a really deep sense of community and active sex lives well into older age and lots of love, lots of really good connection through relationships. And we're going to be speaking about relationships next month because that's a really important part of a healthy lifestyle as well. And we want good health because then we can bring our true purpose to the world. So it's something we really want to work on. And then this year for Christmas, Frank got me this wonderful book called Growing Old is Not for Sissies, number 2. And these are portraits of senior athletes by Etta Clark. And I just love it because there are some really amazing senior athletes. And the book has surfers and weightlifters and runners and even ropers. There's one guy who's, you know, depicted on his, these are portraits, so they're photo portraits in the book. And there he is riding his white horse and spinning his rope up in the air. And then there's synchronized swimmers, these wonderful older women who are, you know, enjoying their time in the sun and in the water. And it's just a great book. I've really enjoyed it. And then it wasn't too many months ago, one of my dear friends in my dance class told us about this gal who does these, many of you have probably seen her, Joanna Rohrbach. She's in her 70s, and she's the Prancer Size gal. And she's wrote a book called Prancer Size, The Art of Physical and Spiritual Excellence. She's had 11 million views on her YouTube. And Tony and I watched it the other day, and it was so fun to see her. She's so graceful and just prancing down the path in the park, you know. And she kind of takes a sort of a cantering step, you know, ta-da, 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 ta-da. And she's moving her arms and her wrists. And it was just lovely. I thought, my God, I could do that in my 70s. I would love to do that in my 70s. And then we also heard about this great gal, Loretta Taggart, who has an exercise class for seniors in Minnesota. And she's 100. She teaches the class, and she's 100 years old. And one of her students, Sheila Booz, said, oh, my God, she's 100 years old. I just about died when I found out. I'm 80, and she exhausts me. That's just great.
Yeah.
It's really wonderful. But my all-time favorite is Jack LaLanne. He was just so amazing. And, you know, he lived in Morro Bay here. And so I had the good fortune of having met him one time. I was going down for jury duty, and we were all sitting, you know, to see if we were going to be selected. And he came in with his secretary, who had his schedule book. And he, you know, is at the time, he since has passed away, sadly, but he was at the time, he was in his 80s, and he was still doing his world lecture, you know, tours. So he would go around the world to speak about health and fitness. And, you know, just an amazing guy. He was so handsome. He winked and smiled at me, and we said hello. And you know, you've probably heard of jumping jacks. He was the one who invented the jumping jack. That's from Jack LaLanne. And great form of exercise. And John Robbins, in his book, Healthy at 100, that I mentioned, he speaks about about Jack LaLanne. And he said that when he was young, he was sick and pimply as a child and very withdrawn, and he lost a lot of time out of school due to illness. And then when he was a young teenager, he met the pioneering nutritionist, Paul Bragg. You guys have probably heard of Bragg's raw apple cider vinegar. I use that stuff all the time. It's a wonderful vinegar. It's a natural raw vinegar, and it's alive. It's got the mother in it, and the mother is growing in there. So sometimes there'll be a little slime in the bottom of the bottle. You think, ooh, that's just the mother. It's good. And so Paul Bragg, when he met Jack, this young kid, he said, well, Jack, what are you eating? And Jack said, oh, cookies, cakes, candy, ice cream. And Paul said, Jack, you're a walking trash can. Yeah, so Jack decided to change his ways, and he prayed for the ability to resist sweets when the cravings came over him, and to have the strength to exercise even when he didn't feel like it. And, you know, he just went on to live this most incredible life. He was a real revolutionizer for our society here in the West. He had the first modern health club in 1936 in Oakland. It was $45 a month, which was pretty pricey back then. I think he set that bar high for gyms and things. And he had television shows, and, you know, he really focused on, of course, exercise and nutrition. And at first he was considered to be a total charlatan and a real nut, you know, those California fruit and nut cake. But since then, of course, he's been vindicated thousands of times, and he's really demonstrated that a healthy lifestyle works wonders. And maybe, Tony, you can show that first slide then.
Certainly.
And I love this quote by Jack. He says, exercise is king and nutrition is queen. And, you know, he was a vegan. He was, most of his life, he ate organic raw fruits and lots of vegetables, and also he took lots of vitamins. And then in his later years, he did include eggs and some of the small fishes, those nice oily fishes. But he said that he, quote, never ate anything from a cow. Once he got, you know, straightened out his life in his teenage years, that was the end of that. So no more dairy or any meats for him. And then in his 60s, I just love what he did to kind of show how we can be so fit in our older age. In his 60s, he towed a 1,000-pound boat from Alcatraz Island in San Francisco Bay, swimming while he was handcuffed. And then for his 70th birthday, even better yet, he towed 70 rowboats with 70 people for a mile and a half in Long Beach Harbor while he was handcuffed and while his feet were shackled, to prove that exercise is king and nutrition is queen. Isn't that great?
Yeah, that's absolutely wonderful. And it's reminding me about a story that I read on the BBC about a couple in their 60s from Sydney, Australia.
Hmm.
And they were raw vegans, and their friends and other people were saying, well, surely you can't, you know, stay fit with that diet. And so to prove that you could not only stay fit but be really healthy, they ran a marathon, 26 miles, every single day for a year.
Oh, my gosh.
And they said they ate fruit juice in the morning, and then after 10 miles of running, they would stop, and then they would have vegetable juice.
Wow.
And they did it for a whole year, and they were in their 60s.
Wow, that's amazing. You know, now that you mentioned it, I think I remember that. That was quite extraordinary. My goodness. That is really something.
Mm-hmm.
So then there's another person that I'd like to mention, which is Ruth Heydrich. She's the author of Senior Fitness, the Diet and Exercise Program for Maximum Health and Longevity. And kind of the reason why I'm sort of focusing on the seniors is because for young people to have something to look forward to, because so much of the time we are telling young people, look, you're going to get fat and old and ugly, it's going to be terrible, you're going to wind up in a nursing home and you're not going to like it. And that's just not the truth. And same thing holds true for, and a lot of times, reversing disease with exercise. And so Ruth is an excellent example of that, because she was given a breast cancer diagnosis in 1982 when she was the age of 47. And prior to that diagnosis, she was feeling like a very emancipated woman. This was the time of Helen Reddy and that song that she had, a very famous lyric, you know, went something like, I am woman, hear me roar.
Mm.
So Ruth just emotionally refused to accept the life sentence of illness. Instead, she found that she was really captivated by the idea of super marathons. She just found out about the Ironman, and she wanted to do it. And she said that her doctors told her, you know, you should be resting. All that stress on your body is not good for it, and running marathons will depress your immune system. To which she said, quote, that's when I stopped relying solely on doctors for advice. You know, we do have to ask within, and our doctors can give us great advice, but we also need to listen within. And what she was inspired to do was to begin really intensive training. And she said that when she was bulking or starting to be like, oh, my God, I'm getting tired going up this hill, she'd think, just think of that Iron Man coming up, you know. So she would push on. This is nothing compared to that. And she just really, really enjoyed this intensive aspect of her training. And as time went on, as she checked back with her, you know, medical professionals, the hot spots in her bones, which indicate cancer, were slowly, one by one, disappearing. And she had a lung tumor which stopped growing. So she thought, hey, this is working, I'm going to keep it up. So she did. And, you know, over her many years as a senior athlete, she went on to do 6 Ironmans, which is just incredible, and then 67 marathons and 100 triathlons. And to keep herself healthy, she's another one who's a vegan, low-fat diet, and she's been cancer-free. And maybe you can show this slide now.
Certainly.
And it's really important to note that exercise is important and necessary, but it does not make up for poor eating habits. And Michael Greger, who is an MD, cited in a study that we saw on a YouTube that he has, which is called, the YouTube is called Uprooting the Leading Causes of Death. And in that study, which is titled Effects of a Low-Fat, High-Fiber Diet and Exercise Program on Breast Cancer Risks, he said in his YouTube that literally 5,000 hours in the gym is no match for a plant-based diet. So that's it. I just thought that was amazing. Literally 5,000 hours in the gym is no match for a plant-based diet.
Josephine, well, you know, the Iron Man, I just can't quite imagine myself doing an Iron Man.
Yeah.
It sounds very painful, whatever it is. So, you know, I was wondering, you know, what if we're looking for something, you know, a little easier, certainly to get started with. I mean, like me, I quite like walking. And now
yeah.
I know it doesn't really exert me very much.
Yeah.
But it seems that there are a lot of benefits. If I go alone and walk out in nature or along the beach or maybe up a mountain or something,
yeah.
I get to go within, I can reflect, and then I always connect more deeply with myself and with other things and other people, I feel. And if I go with someone else, I mean, it's always a chance to talk deeply.
Yeah.
So do you have some, you know, favorite movement activities that, you know, you'd like to recommend?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, that's a wonderful thing, to go out walking with a friend. Like you said, you get really deep conversation. Or I myself absolutely loved riding my horse, Duchess. And people think, well, that's a lot of exercise for the horse. And it is. No mistake about it. But it's also a lot of exercise for the rider. It's more than hiking and just right under skiing. It's really quite a tremendous exertion of balance and movement. And for me, when I was out riding on Duchess, I found myself very much in my right brain. I was really in the present moment, and I was just happily being me. I was also able to spend time, like you were saying, in deep reflection and introspection in a very beautiful environment. So I think this is, you know, what you were mentioning, Tony, is a wonderful way for us to get our exercise. And then I also really enjoy dancing. Swimming in the lake is great. I even don't, you know, love just the moving of my body, even doing things like cleaning the house. I just love to have exercise be a part of my life. So, yeah, you know, we don't need to run marathons. We don't need to go to the gym. We can just so long as we're moving, as we're enjoying our movement. I have one friend who sort of has set up a little exercise room in her home, and she's an artist, and she goes in there and she just does her little workout every day, and you know, it's just fabulous. It's a wonderful thing to do. So we can either have that as like a part of our days. I will often put on exercise tapes in the morning and do my little weightlifting routine and things like that. But I also just love to have it be a part of my life. So, like, for instance, gardening. What could be more wonderful than that? It's just such a one of my very favorite forms of exercise, and it's hugely rewarding and really helpful. And then you wind up with these, you know, tremendous fruits of your labors, these nutrient-rich vegetables, and there's all the bending and stooping and stretching that goes with it. And plus, time spent out in nature not only energizes us, but it clears our heads and helps us to think more positively. And it also helps us to stay true to the compass of our lives. You know, when we're outdoors and moving our bodies, we find ourselves filled with inspirations and lots of thoughts of good things that we'd like to do. And when we spend time in nature, the answers to our deepest questions often will come to us really easily. You know, so many of us have had great spiritual awakenings out in the great outdoors. So, yay, just keep on walking, Tony, and all of you listening. Whatever calls to you, whatever feels just right to you, that's the thing to do.
Well, it was definitely walking for me. And, you know, I can imagine a couple of other things, but all the things you were saying about walking, they're so true.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's, for me, it's a really good thing to do. And also I sleep better because, especially if it's up hills and things, because of the exercise component.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Come home and sleep like a baby. So the Mayo Clinic recommends one 30-minute walk a day for good health. And, you know, I think start wherever you are. I've had some injuries where I couldn't even stand, let alone walk, and then eventually I could start to walk. And, you know, the first time you just walk to the end of the driveway. Then the next time you walk a little further, and pretty soon you're walking to the end of the road. So, you know, start with 5 minutes a day if you need to, and increase from there. Peace Pilgrim, you know, who is one of my favorite mentors, she did 15 miles per day as a pilgrimage, as a prayer, a walking prayer for peace. And sometimes she did as much as 25 miles a day until she died in a car accident in her 80s. So she was a very fit person out there, really completely connected with her higher self while she was walking along and getting her inspiration and spending all that time in prayer. So our exercise can really aid our spiritual pursuits as well. There's the, you know, examples throughout time and history of like the Sufi dancers who are spinning their prayers to connect with the divine, or even the sacred sexual practices of Tantra or Tai Chi, where we're letting the flow of energy of Qi flow through our body, or Qigong. And lots of people enjoy yoga as a sort of a psychophysical spiritual practice. So let's just do a little exercise, shall we? So let's just go ahead and take a moment to go within. And what we're going to do is we're going to ask our body to give us an image of some sort of physical activity that we'd really love to do. So just take a couple of relaxed and easy breaths, and, of course, save this exercise for later if you're driving a car or anything. You want to wait and just remember it to do it another time. And close your eyes if you like. And then just let yourself center inside your body. Just move. Feel how your hands and your feet feel. Feel your spine and your heart and your head and your neck. And now just ask your body, what would I really love to do that involves movement? What kind of movement calls to me? What would make me feel strong? What would help me to feel empowered? What would bring me joy? And then just let yourself get a knowing of whatever that is. And allow yourself to remember it so that you can make a note in your journal later on. And then let yourself come back to your normal waking consciousness and begin to move your body a little bit and stretch. And then open your eyes and return to the moment here. How was that for you, Tony?
Very nice. I always love doing these exercises where we go within.
Good.
And the first image I had was of me swimming in lovely blue water.
Ooh.
But then as you were talking, I changed, and then it was kind of like me dancing, kind of like free-form dancing.
Oh, yeah.
So those were the two that spoke to me.
That sounds lovely. Yeah, great.
Josephine, we've had a message from a listener. This is from Joan in Los Osos, and she writes,
oh, good.
I love your concept of making exercise a part of life.
Oh.
In light of that, I'd just like to share my experiences of walking my dogs every morning. And I make that a gratitude walk, where I say to myself all the things I'm grateful for while I'm walking. It's a beautiful practice, and it gets me out in nature breathing. I love it.
Oh, Joan, that's beautiful. Thank you so much for writing that in. That is a really great example of letting our life be our love and be what we, you know, how we move, and then introducing that beautiful idea of the spiritual practice of gratitude into the exercise. That is just fabulous. Thank you so much for that. And yeah, you know, walking, yay, hooray, and we're breathing, like you say, and that aerobic exercise like that increases the oxygen levels in the blood. And the more oxygen we have in our blood, the more work we're capable of doing. And our aerobic capacity really reveals the health of our whole cardiopulmonary system. So cardio meaning heart, pulmonary meaning lung. And that system is the heart, the lungs, and the circulation. That's the ability of our blood to transport oxygen to our body, to all parts of our body. And when we're sedentary, we reduce what they call the oxidative capacity, and we don't get as much oxygen to all the parts of our body. And that's because we have less capillaries, and thus we experience greater levels of fatigue. So getting out and walking and moving or however it is just fabulous for us. And the experts on, you know, diet and exercise with regard to aging feel that muscle mass is responsible for the vitality of our bodies, and that a higher muscle mass to fat ratio increases our metabolic rate, which is our ability to burn calories. So exercise, any kind of exercise that allows us to push ourselves a little, keeps our muscles toned and growing, and exercise also, of course, increases bone density and bone mass. And like you were intuiting there, Tony, you know, swimming and dancing. I love to dance and swim and ride my bike, and Frank likes to hike and mountain bike and run, and we both like to chase each other around the house every once in a while, which gets us laughing, and I love singing. That's also very, it's a different kind of exercise. It's exercising the trunk of the body, but, you know, and then I also love aerobics. Frank and I do our high-energy combo fitness weight training exercises, and they feel really great. We go to the adult school or to the community college, and you know, I just really like to get all hot and pink and sweaty 3 to 5 times a week. And sometimes I'll walk up the hills. Sometimes I'll, like I said, dance or go to exercise classes, preferably for like an hour or so. But whatever calls to you is what you should do. And you need to start wherever you're at. So if you've not been doing a lot of exercises, you don't want to go running out and just really conquer a marathon or do what you used to do 25 years ago if you haven't done anything for a while. You want to start slow and just do what you can. one of the things that I've done sometimes when I've been badly injured and I have been laid up for a long time, so I haven't been able to get any exercises, I'll start with just, if, like, for instance, there's been a couple of times in my life where I've been bedridden for a year at a time. And I would just start with what I called bed dancing, where I would just start to stretch and kind of move in the bed where my body was supported. And I could just, you know, feel myself kind of just taking up a cadence and a rhythm and maybe singing to myself while I was moving my body. But that's what we need to do, like that little baby Beatrix. We just need to have fun and move. We have another slide. Maybe you can show it, Tony.
Certainly.
And this is a quote from Martin Luther King. If you can't run, then walk. If you can't walk, then crawl. But whatever you do, you have to keep moving forward.
No, that's wonderful. And we have Martin Luther King Day, don't we, on Monday?
Yes, that's right.
Well, on my next walk up a big mountain, I'm going to remember that quote, and it will inspire me.
Yay, good. So now I'd like to share with you a little story about a fall that I took. This was a couple of years ago. It was really quite something. I did a flying face dive right into the concrete, and I was at a friend's house, and we were there for our bi-monthly dream group meeting, get together and discuss our dreams. And just before we got started, I realized that I'd left something out in the car. So I bopped on out through the gate, and right as I'd gone through the gate, I realized that I didn't have my keys, and so I turned back to retrieve them. There was a little uneven surface on the concrete, and you know how easy it is to twist an ankle, and suddenly, all of a sudden, I found myself, I don't know how or even what happened, but something went very wrong, and I found myself just flying airborne, I mean completely off the ground, and then diving headfirst into the concrete walkway alongside her garage wall there. And, you know, oh my God, when I first landed, I had the wind knocked out of me, and I thought, whoa, I'm wondering how badly I'm hurt. And I could tell that both of my wrists had quite a lot of pain, and they were very sharp. One knee was pretty bad, too. And I'd had the wind knocked out of me, so I couldn't breathe for just a moment or two. And then I slowly began to be able to breathe. And my upper lip and my jaw were really painfully hurt. And so I just laid there on my belly for just a minute as I kind of assessed the situation. And then I rolled over onto my back, and I was still, you know, panting with the pain of the impact, but then I was able to look up at the clear blue sky through a few beautiful green leaves in the tree that was overhead, and that helped me to just sort of start to calm just a little bit. And then I reached up to my lip and found that it was swelling and bleeding both inside and out, but my front teeth were blessedly intact, and I was so grateful for that. However, my lower jaw was definitely askew, and I could not close my mouth, not at all. And so I thought, oh, boy. And when I attempted to close it, I got this really sharp pain below my left ear, and I thought, oh, boy, there's that TMJ, you know, the temporomandibular joint. And so after my breathing had quieted a little bit, I tried to kind of rearrange my ribs and my spine so they felt a little more aligned, and that felt good. So I thought, okay, that calmed me a little bit more. And then I thought, well, what to do about this jaw? And so I just reached my fingers inside my mouth, and then I just gently took hold of my jaw with both hands and just breathed a little bit. And I just gave them just the slightest bit of pressure, just the slightest bit of weight. And that felt kind of nice. So I thought, oh, well, maybe what I'll do is I'll just sort of drape my arms down my sides and hold on to my jaw with my fingers still in my mouth, holding on. And then I relaxed a little bit, eased my grip, and moved my jaw a little, and it felt much better. And I thought, oh, I can close my mouth a little more, but not yet all the way. So then I tried again, and this time I really relaxed myself and held the position of draping my arms with the weight of my arms holding onto my jaw for a slightly longer period of time, maybe like 5 minutes. And while I was doing that, I just focused on relaxing my whole body and relaxing my breath. It was still calming down from the shock of it all. And that time, it worked beautifully, and my mouth was able to close perfectly without any pain. I thought, well, that's good. So then my back, as I was laying there, my back just asked me, you know, God, can you just stretch out that one leg a little further? So I did. And then my other knee wanted to bend and then kind of open out to the side before it straightened out to rest. And my lip didn't want me to touch it at all, so I didn't. But as I lay there, I thought of how minimal these injuries were compared to so many people who have, you know, oh my gosh, the ubiquitous battlefields of war around the world and untended, you know, seriously injured and hurt, and how they wouldn't even be able to begin to unscramble themselves. And I felt so grateful for having been comparatively minimally hurt and blessedly able to move a little bit. And the temperature was mild. It was a nice early evening in the summertime, and I was resting relatively comfortably. And I knew that, you know, with divine timing, my friends would come out and find me. And sure enough, a little while later, they did. Our hostess ventured forward first. She thought that she had this one particularly chatty neighbor who she thought had probably grabbed me. You know, I'd just gone out to get one thing, and then here it was, you know, 10, 15 minutes later, they're like, well, where is she? And when she saw I was injured, she went in and got the others, and she came out. You know, she approached me really quietly at first, and I tried to speak, but I just couldn't. It was not yet in my capacity. And so I tried to smile a little, but I really couldn't do that either. And then the tears began to flow, and I just let them wash my cheeks. And then the others all came out, and they lovingly placed their hands on my feet and arms and my head, and they spoke really softly about the beauty of the evening, and they assured me that I was going to be all right. And I tried to get one or two words out, but I found it difficult, so I just rested instead. And then we just were in sort of that nice little mode there when the evening started to get just a tiny bit cool, and I started to feel a little chill coming on, and I realized that I was probably starting to show some of the symptoms of shock. And so I thought, oh, I'd probably better move in soon. But as I was making ready and kind of being able to speak a little bit, making ready to move in, one of my friends said, you know, and she was born and raised in Chile, she grew up in Chile, and she was raised in Peru, actually, and she wanted to do a quick soul retrieval before we moved away from the spot, which was a wonderful thing that she'd learned from her aunties and grandmothers and things down in South America. And so she got a small piece of metal, which was, I think, a tiny little nail that they found, and they placed that beneath my back. And that was just to help ground me. And then together they all started sweetly calling my name into the sky and into the surrounding area, because the idea here is that when you've had a really big shock, part of you gets a little separated from yourself. And so they were just calling me back to myself and reminding me that I had a husband and a home and a body that I needed to fully return to bring fully back to myself. And so that was just such a wonderful moment. It just really felt like a real soul retrieval or a spirit calling back. And then I was able to get up, and we went into the house, and I began to scrub the dirt and the gravel with help from our hostess from the wound. And she had some homeopathic arnica and hypericum, both of which were 30X on hand. And I took a little ball of each of them. The arnica really helps with injuries, and the hypericum is for pain. And then I asked her if she would to call Frank for me and him, for him to come and give me a ride home, which he did. And then when I got home, I took another single ball dose of the homeopathic medicines about a half an hour later, and then again several times more during the night. And, you know, homeopathic medicines are so fabulous. They are really they used to be widely used in Western medicine as well, but they kind of came out of favor in the 50s. But they're really subtle. And so they're best taken away from food on an empty stomach and dissolved under the tongue, and best to avoid things like essential oils and caffeine while taking homeopathics, because they're so sensitive to strong substances. But I not only took the homeopathics, but I also took a small handful of proteolytic enzymes. Proteolytic, so that's spelled P-R-O-T-E-O-L-Y-T-I-C. You've heard of digestive enzymes, which are probiotics, but these are proteolytics. And proteolytics digest proteins, and they really help with healing, because a lot of times when we've had an injury, there are, you know, our tissues have been injured, and those tissues are made up of proteins, and those proteins are kind of blocking the way of the blood flow and interfering with the healing process of the dead tissue, so they have to get dissolved and carried off by the body through the liver and the colon and whatnot. And so the proteolytic enzymes, if they're taken on an empty stomach, They are really quickly absorbed by the blood, and they move through the body to the areas of inflammation. And once they're there, they help to digest and dissolve the damaged tissues and to reduce the swelling. And so most healthy food stores carry them. There's quite a number of them. One of the best is called Wobenzyme, Wobenzyme. And Neprinol AFD is another one. And Tony, maybe you can show that slide, because I've got a little slide with some of these things on there.
Certainly.
Thank you so much. So Neprinol AFD is another one. Vitalzyme is one that is I like to take with Sarazymes, and that's a vegetarian formulation. And so is bromelain and papain by Nature's Life. Bromelain is the enzyme in pineapple, and papain is the enzyme in papaya. And those are vegetarian-based, which is a really nice way for, you know, to have a protein digestant that's derived solely from pineapples and papayas. And, you know, a few years ago, Frank's mom took a really bad fall in her 80s. She fell on a tile floor, and her whole arm swelled up and turned this really deep purple. And we got her on those Wobenzymes. I think she was taking 16 a day, 4 plus 4 plus 4 on an empty stomach. And that huge, horrible bruise was, she called me like 3 or 4 days later or something to say, oh, my God, it's almost gone. And then she was astonished. Excuse me, in about 6 days it was completely gone. And my dad, on the other hand, he experienced a similar really bad bruise, which was, you know, still looking just as bad 2 weeks later when he suffered a massive stroke. And sadly, the stroke resulted in his death a short time later. And, you know, he being a man, he was hesitant to show any sign of weakness, so he didn't tell anybody about his fall and his bruising. He just wore long sleeves to sort of hide it instead. But when bruises, you know, bruises are formed when there's internal bleeding and clotted blood then accumulates in the muscles and in the other tissues. And once, it, you know, our body has repaired itself enough, then our vascular system can slowly clean up that dead blood. But, I couldn't help to wonder if with that very deep bruise, if that might not have caused the clot, which broke loose and then blocked the blood to his brain. So, you know, I definitely honor the timing of our death just as I honor the timing of our birth. But, you know, it was something that I've thought about through the time, and I wished I would have known he'd had that bad bruise, because maybe the proteolytic enzymes, who knows. But, you know, like I said, I honor the timing. But back to my little fall that I had. So when I got home, one of the things that I did was I asked Frank to draw me a nice hot bath, which he did, and we put in several cups of Epsom salts. And Epsom salts, you know, that's magnesium sulfate. And the magnesium is so great for muscles and cramping, and it's one of those nutrients that we really need in a situation like that. And they also act as a salt to pull any of the metabolic wastes out of the body. If you're in the tub for 20 minutes or longer, it will really help to pull the wastes out. And due to the shock and the injury from my body, I think I had, you know, quite a lot of lactic acid and probably dead toxic adrenaline that needed to get pulled out, which it did in the tub. And then I'm a very firm believer in the healing qualities of color and sound. So when I was in the warm water there, we have this lovely little nightlight that has got these pink and blue lights in it. And I put that, plugged that into the wall, so it was just really soft lighting in the room. And that with that color of that nightlight, I just gave myself over to moving and toning in the tub. I was nice and relaxed in that warm water and still feeling like I needed to kind of unscramble my muscles just a little bit. And fortunately, Frank is, you know, very used to me making noises and doing funny things, so he just didn't let it bother himself. But he just, you know, was reading or something. And I was really free to just stretch and hunch and curl my body, you know, further rearranging myself while I was in the tub there and verbally making these, you know, long, low tones and high hums. And, you know, our breath, when it's combined with sound, can really help to move the more subtle tissues of the body. And the warm water really relaxes the muscles that, you know, we're holding on kind of tightly, and it lets them to find ease again. And then I even rolled onto my stomach, you know, and partially submerged my face and my head and stretching my neck while blowing toning bubbles under the water. And, you know, these things are fabulous. We don't often give ourselves the freedom to do something like that, but it's really important to let ourselves just listen within, and this is what my body wanted to do, so I just let my body do it. And part of the time I laid on my side, and I would extend my arms or my legs up into the warm air and then let them kind of sink back down into their sockets, you know, just relaxing. So the arm is outstretched and yet the weight of the arm is just letting it carry itself down into its socket. And I think that this, you know, was a wonderful, really deep rearranging of myself into its natural blueprint, which our body really does know. So, you know, I just gave myself a really nice long wallow, and then I popped into bed and slept like a baby. And we had our high energy combo fitness class the next morning, and I planned on skipping it. But when I woke up, I couldn't believe it. I felt fine. I mean, absolutely fine. I had this big swollen lip with this big gooey sore, it looked like a mustache, but other than that, I felt fine. And it was such a relief that I went to class and I had a great workout. And, you know, Frank and I, like I said, we like to take these classes as often as possible, like, you know, maybe three mornings a week at the local adult school, and they're really affordably priced. And we have this really super fit instructor, Michelle, that we just love. And there's a whole bunch of them. They're all great. And then, of course, I dance with my friends, as you know, Tony, on Tuesdays. And, we have so much fun. We call ourselves the Women of Tuesday. And for all of you who are listening locally, if you'd like to come, we meet at the First Presbyterian Church downtown on Marsh Street at about 10:45. And we call ourselves the Women of Tuesday, and we just do this sort of contact improv, you know, soul motion, you know, fun, wonderful dance stuff that we just get in there and just move around. And then there's also another group that I sometimes dance with at the Vets Hall, and they are like a contact improv group. I think they call themselves Ecstatic Dance, and they're on the weekends, and they're a lot of fun. Plus, I ride my bike a couple of times a week for a quickie up, you know, either down on the flats or up in the hills in the neighborhood, just for fun. And I usually like to get myself nice and pink and sweaty, and I like to puff, 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 you know, for, you know, at least a half an hour, maybe an hour if I can, and hopefully 4 or 5 times a week. It's great. I love it. You know, all those endorphins. You know, it's fabulous. And then I thought this was so poignant. A friend of mine recently commented to me that, in her opinion, most of the old folks in the nursing homes are there because they've let themselves get so weak that they simply are unable to care for themselves anymore. And I thought that was so true. And it's sad because they're too weak to get up and down the stairs. They're too weak to get up and off the toilet. And some are even too weak to dress themselves and to properly feed themselves. And I think she's got a real point. You know, when we manage to stay strong and fit, we age really well. And I think personally that we heal better too. And I remember seeing this one clip of a downhill skier. It was during the last Winter Olympics, and she took a really nasty crash. She just hit the icy snow really hard with this. I just thought, oh, man, this girl is toast, man. That's just terrible. But then the next day she was back in the competition, and I think she even went to take a medal home, and I thought, my God, that's just amazing. And it just strikes me that apparently the better shape that we're in, the hardier our bodies become. And, you know, as a dancer and a bike rider and a, you know, beginning weight trainee, you know, my body is moving very competently and with ample strength, you know, through space nearly every day. Well, actually every day. And because of this, you know, my body's really very aware of exactly where all my nerves and tendons and muscles belong. And, you know, in my fitness class, when I regularly build up my strength in almost every muscle group, and, you know, when I'm dancing, I'm using momentum and timing. These are all really important things. And my musculoskeletal system and my nervous system, those components of those systems, excuse me, they know their right placement in time and in space and with movement. And I think it's because of that that after that fall, with the help of those supplements and the toning and the subtle stretching and my body's strength and movement memory, all of that helped me to do that healing overnight like that I did. And, of course, with the temporomandibular joint, you know, that joint is such a sensitive joint that I thought I wanted to be very careful with that for the final bit of the healing. So I only ate blended foods for several days, and then I was really, really gentle with my jaw for at least another week. But, you know, this was apparently a dislocated jaw and no trip to the hospital and no lasting damage. And I think, you know, in our culture, we're encouraged to just pop right up after an injury, to not show any, you know, nothing's wrong. You know, I'm ready to jump right back into duty. And I just want to say that I think there's a real wisdom in being still when we're hurt and allowing ourselves to feel and to access and listen to our deep self. So this little fall of mine was quite a trip, and it reminded me of, you know, how effective deep listening is to our physical needs. And it reminded me of the integral wisdom for immediate repair and for reclaiming internal harmony that our body holds. Our bodies are so wise. We are under this impression that our minds are really wise, but wow, are our bodies ever wise?
Mm.
And they carry that wisdom with us every second of the day, and it really reaffirmed my belief in the importance of physical vigor and exercise, which allows us to do so much in regards to reversing the aging curve. And best of all, it fully revealed that when we love ourselves enough to free ourselves from what is expected and culturally correct or whatever, you know, to just free ourselves to be who we truly are in each moment, then we can really more easily and more quickly heal ourselves and let ourselves bring our unique gifts more fully to the world. So that's my little story.
That's fabulous, Josephine. It's reminding me of what? It's got so many points in common with what happened to me towards the end of last year. And I was rushing out of the house, and I slipped down the back steps. And the next thing I knew, I landed on my foot, and it made this horrible crunching sound as I fell on top of it. And I was sure I'd broken it, or at the very least, torn the ligaments.
Yeah.
And it was very painful, and I couldn't walk. And I did what you had recommended about just resting and being very, very still.
Yeah.
In fact, I when I managed to hop back into the house, I actually lay down and went to sleep.
Good idea.
And then it hadn't been that long before that I'd been at one of your talks, and you invited everyone to do a full body scan.
Oh, yeah.
And so I thought, yeah, this is time to be quiet and listen and see what was going on. And so I did a full body scan. And I, starting in my feet, I could tell that the injured foot was really badly contracted. In fact, there was tension all down that side. And I don't know if it was because of my Alexander work or what, but as I became aware of it, I was just able very gently to let go of all that holding. And then it felt like my foot was immediately, you know, much more correctly aligned than it had been.
Oh, yeah.
It just felt really good. And then I asked, you know, what does your body want?
Uh-huh.
And I got this Epsom salts. I don't know where that came from. I remember when I was a boy, my dad used to use it when he had sore legs or something. And anyway, Chloe managed to get some for me, and so I had soaked it in Epsom salts. And then I knew that you had recommended arnica, or not recommended, but you used to take arnica and hypericum for injuries. So I thought, well, if we've got some of that, I'll take some of that too. And it was remarkable because the speed with which I healed was extraordinary. I mean, the next day I was obviously on crutches, but I think the day after that I thought, I don't need these crutches anymore. And it was really, to me it seems, I mean, no conventional medical intervention, just listening to what I felt was needed.
Fabulous.
And then giving myself that.
Yeah, that's great. Wonderful. Yeah, and Dr. Schultz talks also, too, about his deep tissue formula, which is a wonderful liniment in a rub. And he has this one testimonial that he shares about a guy who stepped down off of a tractor, similar to yours, a terrible crunching sound, and his foot swelled up horribly. And he just got off of it, stayed off of it for about 4 days, and rubbed the deep tissue liniment on it about 3 or 4 times a day. That's what his body said he wanted, you know, and he listened within, and it completely healed. And, you know, I've found also, too, that physical therapy exercises can be really beneficial for us. I was able to heal a really profound knee injury with physical therapy exercises, was what that knee wanted. And it took me a while to sort of find my way into that. But when I finally did, it was like, oh, this is what my body wants. Okay, I'll do that. So it was really great. You know, they did a study at Tufts University with chronically ill nursing home residents. And they had those folks lift weights 3 times a week for 2 months. And when they did that, their balance and coordination improved. Their walking speed tripled. And many of them no longer needed to use their canes. They were able to get up and go to the bathroom by themselves at night, and their self-confidence soared. And I think they only did it for 3 times a week for 2 months. And isn't that an extraordinary result?
It is.
Well, that's chronically ill nursing home residents. 3 times a week for 2 months, and all of that change happened. Yeah, isn't that great?
Yep, it's absolutely fantastic. And I think that the thing that it's emphasizing for me is what you began the program talking about, you know, people's perception of what it's like to grow old.
Yeah.
And that a lot of people think that ill health and inactivity is inevitable.
Yeah.
And that we can't sustain health and wellness and movement as we get older. But, you know, everything that I know now points to the opposite. I think it's definitely possible that people can move well, gracefully, easily, and enjoy movement into their later years.
Yeah, and weren't you telling me something about a study that you just read?
I read it today. It was Cambridge University. It's in all the British press today. And these scientists believe that inactivity is more harmful than obesity. And by that, they meant that if you were obese, but you still walked for 30 minutes a day, it had nowhere near the same harmful effects that being heavy and sedentary had. And they were believing that it's the combination of obesity and inactivity that leads to life shortening, because this
mm-hmm.
is a major issue in Britain, because they now believe that extreme obesity is one of the major health challenges facing the nation.
Mm-hmm.
And what these scientists had found from these studies is that all it takes is 30 minutes walking a day.
Oh, that's great.
And that can have a dramatic improvement in a person's life expectancy.
Isn't that great?
It is, because it's so simple and it's so enjoyable. It makes me feel like every time I meet someone for something, a cup of tea, I should say, let's go for a walk instead. You know?
Yeah, or walk like our dear friend Einar does, walk down to the place where you have the tea.
Yeah, that's a great idea, isn't it?
It is. It's
or if you're
wonderful.
Going to see somebody, walk there or
yeah.
cycle there or whatever.
And I've heard it said that, you know, you can park farther away instead of parking closer if you're taking your car somewhere and get a little walking in there. And some dear friends of mine, Tom and Eve, just recently got a little app for their telephones that lets them know how many steps they've taken a day, and they've taken to walking down to the shop and walking here and walking there, wherever they're going. But it was really wonderful. That's a great thing to do.
Oh, well, Josephine, on that lovely note, perhaps I should say it's time for us to go.
Oh, gosh, not again.
Yeah, what a shame. I don't know where the time goes. Anyway, the link to next week's show can be found on Josephine's website at stepintomagic.com if you just click on the top menu for radio. And if you have a question for us or would like to be included in our weekly newsletter, simply go to the contact page of Josephine's website. Again, that's stepintomagic.com. So, Josephine, any parting words that you'd like to say?
Well, yes, there are. I'd like to thank you so much for that, Tony. And it's wonderful how we can really reverse those biomarkers of aging with just a simple lifestyle change. You know, when we listen within and find out what's right for us, be it the prancercise or ocean swimming or tango classes or whatever, you know, we really do make ourselves fit and have a younger profile. Like these athletes in the book that Frank got me, Growing Old Is Not for Sissies. They're just so beautiful, all of them in their 80s and 90s and looking so fit. And I'd like to just finish with this little quote, which I love, by Jack LaLanne, which is, he said, and this is the slide, if you could show that for us.
Actually, can't find that one, Josie.
Can't find that one?
No,
oh,
I don't know where
too
it's gone.
Bad. Well, he said, I don't care how old I live. I just want to be living while I'm living. Isn't that great?
Mm-hmm.
And when we have good vitality for life, we can embrace all aspects of our being, be they spiritual, mental, or physical, and we can more easily find and express our true purpose and embrace our connection with spirit. So in closing, I'd like to say that I'm so grateful to all of you for giving me the gift of your time. And I'll just finish with another little blessing, which is that as our gifts are given in love, they are received in love. And we honor their wise use and their increase for all concerned. And so it is.
Thank you so much for that, Josephine. As always, it's been a real pleasure chatting with you over the airwaves. And I trust that everyone listening has learned lots about dancing their way through life and the role of movement in health and healing. This has been show number HLN-3.15. And if you've enjoyed the show, we really hope that you will tell your friends. We look forward to having all of you join us again next week when Josephine will be talking about how we can get well again when we've become ill.
Tony and I wish you all insight, wisdom, and magic as you pursue the journey of inner knowing, and I hold you all in light and in love. Thank you so very much for listening. This is Josephine Lang. Until next week, good night.
The moderator has left the conference.